Christian in a big way. He also has had a real passion to see millions of people in a meeting. I mean, millions, really, in a meeting crying out to God and getting saved. He's watched Reinhard Bonnke. You ever see this video of Reinhard Bonnke? Go to YouTube and see it. Reinhard Bonnke, don't ask me how to spell it. But it's there's a meeting he had in Africa a few years ago, and as the camera pans the crowd, I cry. It's outrageous. There were over a million, right, there, and hundreds of thousands got saved at that meeting. And he's and Matt here has this passion to see that happen. He wants to be part of that. And so I just want to introduce him up here, bring him up here, and I want us to pray for him, and he's going to share his heart. This is Matt. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Could you get one of those for Matt?
All right, stretch your hand out toward the speaker. God, we just we ask for the speaker to be absolutely, completely just lost in you right now and undone by you. And if you want to just do something radical in him while he's preaching, shift things, just come and do what you want. But put his heart at total peace and total ease and let him soar and fly with you, God. I'm asking, Father, that you bless him. And God, let this heart be able to come out over this crowd and help our ears not to be carnal, but to hear what you want to say, Father, through a vessel who loves you, through a peer, through a cool guy. And I thank you for it, God. And just bless him tonight.
Awesome. Well, it's good to finally be here. I want us all to stand up one more time. Everyone stand up. And I just saw this picture during worship. I just saw myself stepping out of the way. God just gave me this vision, me stepping out of the way. And as soon as I stepped out of the way, the Holy Spirit just came like a lion to each person, and just totally changed, totally wrecked each person in a good way. But I just want us to cry out to him right now, because I just feel like this name Rain for this conference, it's not just a coincidence, and it's not, I don't think, also that it's a coincidence that it's raining outside right now. But I like Todd said, rain cleanses, rain brings healing, rain brings life to the dead parts of our hearts and the dead parts of our lives. And so I want to cry out, because I really hear him saying tonight that he will provide for your every need, regardless of why you came here, whether a friend dragged you here or a youth pastor dragged you here. He's going to encounter you tonight. He's going to change your life tonight. All you have to do is be open, because he's going to do a mighty thing in your hearts. So I want us to lift our hands to him right now. And I want us to cry out all in one voice. Don't be ashamed. Just cry out with all that you have in you for this change, that the Holy Spirit would come like rain tonight, that he would come like rain, and that he would change things, that he would change things, that he would raise up revivalists to change the world. Let's cry out to him right now. Cry out, lift your voices. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. We invite you to come here tonight, God. We invite you here. Do what you want. Change hearts, God. Raise up revivalists, God. Keep crying out to him right now. Yes, God. Come like rain tonight, God. Come like rain on every heart, God. God, we need you. We don't want to be here if you're not here, God. We invite your presence here, God. Without you, it means nothing to be here, Father. We invite your presence, Holy Spirit, right here. Thank you, God. I just see he's going to flood this place. He's not just going to rain. He's going to flood this place with his presence tonight. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So open up your spirits and get ready, because he's going to encounter you each in a personal way. All you have to do, like I said, is be open to it. So I just felt led to first talk about that and then talk about this. He's raising up an army in the earth right now. I'm just going to jump in. He's going to raise up an army in the earth today, and he is. There's some youth like your age and my age that are praying 4 to 5 hours a day for revival. There's youth that are going to the grocery stores and laying hands on the sick people, laying hands on people in wheelchairs, and they're getting up immediately. Whether you believe it or not, whether it's your theology or not, this is happening in the earth today. This is happening now. And we can be a part of this. We are called. He is calling each and every single one of you, no matter what your age is, no matter why you came here. He's coming here. He's in this room, and he's calling your hearts. He's calling you to be a part of this army. All you have to do is say yes. But you can't be a part of this army unless you are sure of who you are, and that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. I'm going to be talking about our identity. And I know we've heard that a lot in our churches, pastors, congregations. We've all been talking about it a lot throughout the years, but I just really want to talk about this, because this is like the foundation of our faith. If we don't know this, we're not going to be able to do a lot of other things. You could sit down, by the way. I'm sorry. You could sit. Okay. But seriously, this issue of identity has single-handedly stolen our peace, our joy, our freedom in God, and it's prevented us from going into the depths of God and doing what is in his heart to do. And I know at least some of you, just an estimate, I'm sure, in a room full of people, that there's some in here that are still thinking that they're mistakes, that they're in their minds they might think, yeah, God might use me someday. But in their hearts, they're thinking that they're mistakes. They're thinking that they're not worth it. You might be thinking that God can't use you, or that he won't use you, or that you're unsure of your destiny. And I just believe that tonight he's going to show you that you're very wrong, that you are not mistakes, that you are holy. And I'll get into that a little bit. But I just want to share like a brief thing about just in my life how knowing identity has changed me from the inside out. A couple of years ago, I was just a regular Christian. I was born in a Christian home, raised by a Christian family. They loved me, went to church every week, every Sunday, and it was great. But it was kind of dry, kind of boring, kind of dull. Didn't really like it much. But one day, this guy came into my life, and I was at a prayer meeting, and he just introduced himself, started talking to me. One thing led to another. We started meeting, and he just invited me to this group, and he just started speaking over me some things that I've never heard before, and it was the Father's heart over me. It's what God truly thinks about me, and it's who I truly am in him because of Jesus. Because Jesus died, what does that make me? And he was speaking that over me. And it seemed pretty elementary to me at first, but the more I heard it, the more my heart got ignited with fire and with passion. And I just got free from some stuff. And I just believed that, God, you really think this way toward me. You really love me this much to not only just save me from hell, but change my whole identity altogether. And so from then till now, I'm just a completely different person. I'm more confident than I used to be. I'm more just comfortable in my own shoes, because I know that it's not just me, you know. When I stand up here, it's not just me standing up here. It's a man of God. It's a holy man. It's a righteous man. And that's not because of what I've done. It's because of who's in me. And it's because of who's in you. So I pray that he just reveals that to you and gives you a revelation, every person in here, of that transformation, that it's done. You can't do anything to change your identity, that this is who you are forever. So I want to go into a little bit about one of the biggest things that prevents us from believing truly in who we are. Can anyone guess? It's a three-letter word. We do it a lot. Yeah, it's kind of obvious. But really, think about it. Think about how you feel after you sin. It's not very good. It's not, man, I'm really holy right now. I'm just awesome. No, it's I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. I feel like I'm never going to get this right. God will never use me now. We all think this. And there's a solution for this, and that's what I've been talking about. It's knowing who you are in Christ, knowing your identity in Him. That's the only way you can overcome this guilt, or that you can overcome the shame of sin, is knowing who you are. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'll just read it real quick. It says, therefore, and this is kind of like the theme for tonight. This is what all I'm going to talk about revolves around. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we've heard that verse a lot, but I want you to close your eyes and think about that. I want that to soak into your spirits. Therefore, because you are in Christ, those of you who have accepted Jesus, because you are in Christ, you are new. You are purified. You have been made spotless. There is no spot in you. He has renewed you. The old things have passed away. The shame, the condemnation, the feelings of guilt, they have all passed away. All things have become new. All things are new in you. Let that free you. That's a freeing statement. All things have become new. The old has passed away. So why do we still focus on that old passed away stuff? You know? Why do we focus on, oh, I can't believe I just sinned again. Wow. we're gonna fall, you know, sometimes. We're not always gonna live a perfect life. But I just want to read a statement that was really profound to me, and I pray that it would just pierce your hearts right now. No matter what, you are no longer defined by your failures. You are defined by who Jesus says you are and nothing else. Just let that free you. That no matter what you do, no matter where you go, you are no longer defined by your failures. You're no longer defined by what you do. You are defined by who He has made you, and that's it. And that cannot change. Usually you are what you do in the world. In the world sense, you are what you do. If you murder people, you're a murderer. If you steal things, you're a thief. You are what you do. But once you come in to Christ, once you come into the relationship with Christ, that old law changes. The Bible calls it the law of sin and death. So now, when you sin, you're holy. Now, when you screw up and fall on your face, you're blessed. You're righteous. You're pure. There's not a spot in you. And that doesn't give you an opportunity. That doesn't give you the freedom to sin. But that just frees your soul that even though you do sin, He's faithful and He forgives you past, present, and future. And sometimes that's hard. That's hard to comprehend, the future part. A lot of people preach on how we're forgiven from all past sins, and maybe the sin that we're doing right now, we're free as long as we repent for a long time and just cry out to Him, and then He'll forgive us. But the Bible says something different. I'm sorry to those preachers who preach that, but the Bible speaks something not different. Adds on to that. So you're forgiven of past and present, but what we need to focus on also is we're forgiven future. He reached into our futures and forgave us. So that the minute we sin, it's covered. We're forgiven. And we still shall repent, which means just turning. If you're going down one road, you make a U-turn and go down the other. That's what repent means. Philippians 3:13-14. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have arrived. Paul is talking to the Philippians here. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to focus on, that though we sin, it's past. It's done. It's covered in the blood. We repented. It's finished. Move on. Move on. Don't focus on the sin. Don't give the devil any more credit than he deserves, which is none. We need to be focusing forward, like Paul. We need to focus on the prize. We need to focus on the goal, rather than focusing on our failures. And I just heard something a couple of years ago that kind of goes along with this verse about running the race. Think of it like this. Think of you're in a race. You're running toward the goal. You see the finish line, but you fall and you trip on a rock. Now you have two options. Are you going to get back up and say, okay, well, that hurt. That sucks. But I'm going to get up and keep running. Or are you going to stay down and grovel and complain, saying, oh, God, I'm disqualified now. I can't run anymore because I fell and tripped on a stone. I found a cool verse that talks about that. Colossians 1:12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. No matter what you do, you cannot be disqualified by your sin. You can't be disqualified. No matter what horrible thing you might think that you're doing, you can't be disqualified. He has already pre-qualified you so that you cannot be disqualified. And this is really a weird way of thinking. If you think about it, it's not very logical that when we sin, we're forgiven, you know, right away. It's not logical, and I'll be the first to admit it feels weird to start thinking this way. It just feels weird after you sin just to say, wow, I'm really, really holy. I'm really pure. And I'm really awesome right now. When you just sin, it doesn't make any sense. But God doesn't really tend to make sense to the natural mind anyways. So now that we've kind of talked about that, I just want to dive into who we really are, our true identity in Him. We've talked about it, but now I just want to hit the nail on the head here. So let's just jump right in. First and foremost, like I've been talking about, we are free from guilt and shame. And that's what I've just been talking about. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Or in other words, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you will not be punished. Usually a father-son relationship or father-daughter, if you do something bad, you get punished. It's over. But with God, He doesn't punish you. When you sin, He has grace on you. This might be a new concept for you guys, or for some of you, but He works a different way than earthly fathers do, than your fathers do, than your mothers do. That when you sin, it says He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. That doesn't mean you might not go through a hard time for a point because you chose the world over Him, but He's not going to say, you did this again, now watch what's going to happen. He doesn't do that. He's a kind and loving Father, and He forgives you right away. So the second thing, you are chosen. Each one of you is chosen before the world began, before you were even born. You were chosen. You were given a specific call and a specific destiny. Ephesians 1:4, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Holy means set apart. And without fault, it says, holy and without fault. I just want to speak past your minds and into your spirit right now, that you are holy. No matter what anyone else has told you, no matter what the devil's told you, no matter what your parents have told you, no matter what you've told yourself, that you are holy. If you are in Christ, you are holy and without blame in His sight. Without blame. And blameless in this verse, blameless means free from or not deserving blame. seems obvious, but that's really profound, that we don't deserve blame, even after all we've done. That's just how good our God is. That's how gracious He is. Number three, we are no longer sinners, but we are saints. I looked up the word saint just to figure out more in depth of what it really means. And it said, person of extraordinary holiness. That's what each one of you are. You are a person of extraordinary holiness. And it goes back to the point that I talked about earlier, that you're no longer defined by your sin. You're defined by who He says you are. And because you are in Him, in an instant, your identity is changed. The old person, the old man, the old woman has died. And there's a new creation. There's a new life in each one of you. And that is holy. And that is a saint. Let's see. Number four. We are the righteousness of God, it says. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him who had no sin, Jesus, to become sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. I looked up righteousness too, because I like to actually understand what these verses say, which I don't most of the time. But it says that we might become the righteousness of God. Righteousness means without guilt or sin. A lot of our new identity is about being free from sin, being free from condemnation. Number five. I like number five. It says, now that we are in Christ, he calls us the elect of God, the chosen elect of God. We're not just in God. We're not just Sunday Christians going to Sunday school, going to services or whatever, just following God and praying before we go to bed every night. He calls us the elect of God, the elect of God. That means we're high up there in God. We have a status in God. In other words, He likes you. He doesn't just love you. We've heard Jesus loves you a billion times to the point of sickness. But not just He loves you, which is profound in itself, but He actually likes you. He actually wants to be with you. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, He actually wants to be with you. He wants to spend time with you. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. All right, number six. You are kings and queens in Him. Each one of you is a king and a queen in Him. Because your identity has shifted, you've gone from a poor man or a poor woman living on the streets outside the gates of the kingdom to reigning next to Jesus on the throne as kings and queens. And think about what exactly a king or a queen is. They have authority. They walk in majesty. They are respected. They are loved. They are blessed. And their kingdoms, you know what kings and queens rule over in this sense, in the spiritual sense? Because you're kings and queens, you have all authority over darkness. Darkness must bow its knee to you because it's Christ in you that they see, and they must bow and leave. You have all authority in Him. It says in Revelation 5:10, these are just verses to back up what I'm saying so you don't think that I'm absolutely insane. Revelation 5:10, it says, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Now I just want to talk about our uniqueness in God. Just each and every one of you, like I said earlier, has been chosen. No matter if you don't believe a word I'm saying right now, whether you're not even a Christian or whether you're far along in your walk, there is no one else like you. We sing that to God, there's no one else like you. But we reflect His image, and there's no one else like you. There's no one else like you. There's no one else like you. You have been chosen before the world began by Him. And he has given you identity. He has given you a specific identity that no one else has. Now we have the general identities like kings, priests, loved ones. But he has made you your own person. And there has never been anyone like you. And there will never be anyone like you. Forever. You are unique. You are blessed. That in itself should give you joy, that you are so unique. But on top of that, he has given each one of you a specific destiny that only you can fulfill. He has handcrafted a destiny that was made for you. And you're going to change the world through it. All you have to do is say yes to that destiny. You're going to change your cities. You're going to change your schools. You're going to change this world with this destiny that he's given you. So I just want to encourage you, stop thinking that you're less than. Stop thinking that you're not worth it. Stop thinking this poverty mentality where you think you're not worth anything, that you don't deserve love, that you don't have a destiny because you don't pray enough or you don't go to church enough. It's not about that. You can't change the fact that you have a destiny, but you can change whether you walk in it or not. So are you going to choose to walk in that God-given destiny? And by destiny, I'm not talking about jobs. I'm not talking about the workplace. I'm talking about the kingdom. He can use your destiny in your job. I'm not saying that he can't, but I'm saying that your identity is not found in what you do. Like I said, it's not defined by where you work, what status you are, whether you're a doctor, lawyer, teacher, but it's defined by who he says you are. And he's going to use you. Because his will, when Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, he gave a commission to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. So whatever you do, whatever occupation that you go into, even if you're not sure of your destiny, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers. I mean, it's pretty basic, yet really profound. Let's see. You know, before I even got up here during worship, I just felt the predominant word for tonight is freedom. Like, there's going to be a freedom that comes on every heart. You know, if you just open yourselves up, God's going to free you. There's going to be emotional healings in this place tonight. There's going to be physical healings in this place tonight. There's going to be deliverances. There's going to be changing of thoughts. There's going to be joy that comes upon you like you've never even known. There's going to be a peace. You're going to be comfortable in your own shoes for the first time in your life. And that's all because the Spirit of God is here. And like I said earlier, I just feel like He's saying, what do you want? You have all things. He has given you freely all good things that are of him. What do you need tonight? I want to tend to your every need, he's saying. If you need a physical healing, like I said, he's going to do it. If you need an emotional healing, he's going to do it. He's going to touch you in the place of your need because he loves you. So I want to shift from who we are, now that we've established that, who we truly are in Christ, I want to move on to one of the more fun parts. What we can do because of who we are. What does that enable us to do? I know that's great that we are holy, that we're kings, that we're free from all sin, but then what? You know? And, well, I'm just going to share a couple stories with you of what happens when you truly believe in who you are. And these stories happened about a year or so ago to me, and they were really awesome. And they really just rocked my world because God would use me, you know? And it's just, even that's a mentality that I want to be broken of, you know? Oh, God, you would use a sinner like me. Of course, he's made me a king, you know? He's made me righteous and without blame. Of course he'd use me, you know? And we got to start thinking like that. That yes, I am worth it. Yes, I am awesome. So I just want to tell one story of what happens when you truly believe in who you are, in Christ. So I used to take this fighting class. It was like a martial arts kind of class. It was really intense. Israeli type of fighting is crazy. Anyways, so one day I went into class, and it was just me and the instructor, and he's not a Christian. He wasn't saved, so he was just walking around, and he was telling me to do stuff, and he was just swearing up a storm. I'm like, what's going on? What are you doing? And he was telling me how he just totally screwed up his neck during a tournament, I guess the previous day, and he couldn't turn his head to the left whatsoever. It was bad. He had to schedule a chiropractor appointment to see if they can do anything about it, just to relieve the pain. So I was like, oh wow, that's bad. That's not good. So we go through the lesson. He's finishing up teaching me some stuff, and at the end, as soon as he started complaining of this, I'm like, well, of course I know what's going to happen next. Holy Spirit's going to tell me to pray for him, and I'm going to have to somehow break it to this guy. Like, I feel led to pray for you. I'm a Christian, and I hear God. And I didn't know how to do that. I was fairly new about that. And he's not a Christian, you know. What's he going to think of me? So slowly, I just start slyly turning the conversation to church and then to God, you know, and to what I've seen. I've gone to Brazil and stuff, and what I've seen there. I've gone to Africa, what I've seen there. Just kind of weaving my way in. And to make a long story short, I said, well, can I pray for you? Because I've seen God just heal people immediately in these other countries, and I believe that he wants to heal you right now. And he's like, yeah, whatever. So I lay my hands on his neck, and I just start praying. A simple prayer, Holy Spirit, come. I just invite you. And I started asking him after a minute if he's feeling anything. And he said he started to feel a heat, like a fire on his neck. I was like, well, that's good. So let's keep praying. So we keep praying. About a minute later, I take my hands off because I feel done. You know, I just feel led to that the Holy Spirit's saying, okay, that's enough. So I ask him, well, how are you feeling? And he turned his neck fully to the left, completely healed, completely healed. He's not a Christian. He's never seen this before. Completely healed. I loved his expression. He was like, I got to think about this for a while. This is weird. Oh, my gosh. But that's just, yeah, praise God. And that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't believed that I am who God says I am. That, you know what? I'm not going to be bogged down by fear. I have authority of the darkness that's on you right now. Let me cast it out. Let me shine my light on you so that darkness leaves, because I have the authority to do so because God is in me. I have one more story for you. So I was getting my hair cut one time. And I was just sitting in the chair, just hanging out. And my hairstylist was like, oh, man, I just have this sinus infection. It's horrible. I can't breathe out of my nose, and it's been keeping me up all night, blah, 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 complaining for like 20 minutes on how horrible this thing was. I was like, okay, I see where this is going. So I'm like, oh, okay, God, please give me the faith to do this, because I'm kind of scared. So she starts finishing up. Again, God's working on my heart. I'm not just fully outright. Like, I hear from God. Let me pray for you. You're going to get healed. I like to weave my way in a little bit. Like, hey, so what church do you go to? You know, have you heard of God before? Just all this stuff. Start weaving my way in. And eventually, like the other guy, just start talking about what I've seen, miracles and just stuff like that. Just to raise their faith a little bit. And finally, I was like, well, can I pray for you? And she was like, yeah, sure. I was surprised that she said yes, because there's people all around us. And I would think that she would be embarrassed, but she gladly obliged. So she took me into this one room, and I just laid hands on her, and same as the last one, I just commanded the pain or the sinus infection to go. I commanded clarity. I commanded a complete healing. I commanded that healing fire on her. And again, she said, I feel like a heat. I feel like a fire on me. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, okay, well, let's just keep praying. So we're praying. All of a sudden, I ask her, I was like, okay, so what's going on? What are you feeling? What's happening? And she said, oh, I can breathe out of my nose now. all this stuff is completely healed. This is incredible. I'm going to keep you posted. Because, like, I don't know, she was just completely healed, and it was a miracle. And I was just, it was amazing. I don't know. I don't know what else to say than that. But sadly, that's not, this message is taught, but it's taught very shallow in some churches. It's not taught, we're told who we are maybe, but we're not told what we can do because of who we are. We're not told of this new creation that we are, that has all authority over darkness. We're not told about that a lot. Granted, in some churches, of course we are. But there's a lot of churches that don't talk about that. But in reality, because of who we are, we have authority over all sickness, over all disease, over all pain, over all darkness, over all demons. We have the authority because those things aren't of God, and we are. And because we have all authority in God, and darkness has no authority unless you give it authority. Did you know that? The devil has no authority over you unless you agree with him. Unless he can make you agree with him, then he has an in. Otherwise, he has no authority over us. There's nothing to fear in him. There's nothing to fear. He's like a little dog that's just yapping and yapping. And this is how logical being afraid of the devil is. It's having a little dog that's rabid, yapping at you like a chihuahua or something. And for you to be so scared by this chihuahua that you lay down on the ground and let him nip at your neck till you bleed to death. That's how stupid it is, you know? But in the church, but not just in the church, in common thought, devil and the demons are something to be feared. But as this illustration shows, that's pretty ridiculous. Because we could just kick the dog in the neck and it dies, you know? This is how much authority we have in Christ over the darkness. But we don't realize that. But if we did, we'd be raising the dead. We'd be casting out all darkness. Every wheelchair we see on the streets would be emptied, and people would just be walking and healed. And by the way, I don't have this perfected. If it seems like I do, I really don't. It's still a process for me too. He's still teaching me. He's still giving me faith. He's still just raising my expectation and my belief in what I'm speaking right now. So Philippians 4:13 is kind of what summarizes this section. It says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things. Nothing is too big for God. Nothing is too big for God. We can do anything that is of God, and he will show up. So I just want to transition. I just want to lead us in a declaration. Can we all stand up for a second? So let me just give you kind of a rundown of what we're about to say before you know, it'd be nice to know what you're about to declare. We're just going to repent for old ways of thinking that we're not worth it, you know? The old ways of thinking that we're dirty, that we're ugly, that we're stupid, that we'll never get anything right. We're just going to repent for that, for those old way of thinking, and we're going to receive the new way of thinking. We're going to agree with Christ. We're going to agree with that new way of thinking. So you guys ready? You could just repeat after me. And I just want the Holy Spirit, I just ask you to move in this place. Let this be the time, Lord. I give you permission just to move. However you want to move, move in this place, Father, during this declaration and after, Lord. We just wait on you right now. Holy Spirit, fall in this place. Release the rain of your presence right now. Oh, thank you, God. So just repeat after me. I thank you, God, for making me a new creation. And I repent right now for agreeing with the devil and how he thinks about me. I now reject my old ways of thinking. and I choose to see myself through your eyes. I agree with the fact that I am holy. I am a king or a queen. That was good. That was good. Let's keep going. I am pure and cleansed from all sin forever. I am loved and valued no matter what. I have a purpose and a destiny that only I can fulfill. And I am free. Amen. So I just want to do a little fun activity now. Now that you guys know who you are, now that you guys know that what you can do because of who you are, I want to prove this to you kind of in a way. I just want to give you an opportunity to see this. So I want everyone to sit down. Hopefully there's some people in here matching the description. I want everyone who feels at all sick in their body to stand up. I want everyone who has any pain in their body right now, just stand up. Just don't be shy. Just stand up, everyone. Pain or sickness. Cool. Okay. So I just want to briefly explain what's going to happen and how to do it. I want you guys sitting around these people, I want you to lay hands on them and command healing into their bodies. And don't be anxious about this. Don't be afraid. Oh, I've never done this before. It's simple. You lay your hands on them and release the light that you have in you. Release the light into that darkness, which is sickness or pain, and darkness must flee. When the light shines on the darkness, darkness doesn't try to eat up the light. It's commonly known. When you turn a light on in a dark room, darkness flees. In the same way, when we lay hands on the sick people, when we lay hands on people who have pain in their bodies or have any affliction whatsoever, the darkness must flee. The pain must flee. The sickness must flee. All you have to do is lay your hands on them and say, I command the justice of God to come upon you. I command healing for your body. I command healing of sickness. I command healing of disease or pain or torment or whatever. And just release that light. You have all authority. You have all power. So I just want maybe at least two or three per person, if we can do that. Just gather around, or that. Just gather around. If you see anyone standing, just gather around them, lay your hands on them. I'll give you a couple minutes to do this. Just start commanding healing into their bodies. Just start to ask them if they're feeling any different, if they're feeling any better, if they notice any change. We'll just take one more minute. All right, let's start. Come back to our seats. Now, I want everyone that just got prayed for with pain or sickness in their body to stand up right now. Just everyone who was standing before. How many of you just got healed? How many of you just got healed? Look at that. You see that? You see that? Almost every person got healed. Almost every person got healed. That's just to prove to you guys that you have all authority in Christ. That you just simply release the light and the darkness flees. So let's just pray for a second. God, we praise you for these healings right now, God. We praise you for moving in this place, God, for raining down your presence, Lord. We praise you for raining down your presence, God. You're such a good God. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, God. I just pray that you would seal what has been spoken, what you have done in people's hearts, that you would seal it, Father, that it would not burn away, that it would not be a mountaintop experience or any of that junk, Lord Jesus. I want a sealing, God. I want you to seal it, God. I pray that you would deeply move and change lives, Father. That you would change lives, God, even now, Holy Spirit. That you would move and that you would release the reality of God, the reality of your love for us, God. That you would release that revelation, Lord Jesus. We praise you, God. We thank you for all that you've done tonight, God. You're such a good God. Amen. So I just want to call the ministry team up right now. Whoever Todd talked to, I just want to call you up. Just line up either side of this place. If you didn't get healed tonight and you want to still be healed, which I would assume that you would, come up here, get prayer. Like I said, the Holy Spirit's doing something big here tonight. Whatever you need, He's going to provide for it because He's your provider. And it says in the Bible, He will provide for your every need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So whatever you need, whether that be deliverance, physical healing, emotional healing, if you've never felt the Father's love before, if you've never felt His presence before, I just want you to come up and get prayer. All these people are spirit-filled believers. They love you. They want to pray with you. And your life will be changed. All you, like I said earlier, all you have to do is be open, and the Spirit of God will bring change. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for tonight. Thank you. We praise you, Jesus. That even now through the ministry time, that you would just touch hearts. That you would touch lives, Father. Make yourself known. Make yourself known, God, to these people, Father. You could just start coming up. If you want prayer, just come up.
I